to him for reading scripture and for Andrew leading us worship this afternoon. It's good to see everybody here. So before we go into this passage, let's pray. Let's ask God for wisdom. Father, we thank you that you're a God, a faithful God, a God that cares, a God that loves us, a God that will not leave us nor forsake us. And this afternoon as we gather to read your word and to understand what you have to say, we pray for your spirit to enlighten our hearts and our minds so that we will be obedient to what you have to say, and pray that we will be encouraged by your word. And so we commit our time, our meditation to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see everybody, and I know last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I celebrated the life, all right, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and it's such a joyous time. And because He's resurrected, He's alive today, we have faith. We can have faith, and we can be sure that He's with us. And I really like this afternoon's, all the selection of the songs, right, talking about God's faithfulness, God's presence. And today, I thought maybe this is a good passage for us to consider. And it's 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 11. And I've entitled this afternoon's sermon, Spiritual Growth is a Choice. Spiritual growth is a choice. And if you read this passage, you realize that Peter is talking about growth, right? Growing in Christ. You know, like any kind of living things, right? Any living thing, it has to grow, right? If it's not growing, I mean it's dead, right? And you and I know that we need to grow too, right? We will grow physically, right? If you're a baby, you grow, right? Especially if you're a parent and you have a baby, and the baby has to grow. I mean, if you feed the baby for days and weeks and it's not growing, you'll be worried, right? You'll be like, oh, what's going on, right? And so growth is good. Growth is important. And even if you're a teen, right, today many of you are young people, you need to grow, right? You grow taller. For the guys, you want to grow as tall as, you know, as tall as you want. You know, for the ladies, you want to grow prettier, right? You want to be more smarter and things like that. You grow. And it's a given, like we want to grow. But if you're not growing, something is wrong. And so in the same way, in our spiritual life, Peter here is telling us that we need to grow. It's a choice, right? It's a choice. It's not something that comes naturally. I mean, physical growth is natural, right? Especially if you are eating healthily and if you are drinking and eating regularly, it's natural that you will grow. Unless something is wrong with you physically. But in the spiritual life that we have is not guaranteed. In other words, it's not natural. It's not a guarantee that you will grow naturally. It's a choice. It's something that we choose to grow or not to grow. And so here I want to emphasize the fact that we need to grow, right? Spiritually. And so the question this afternoon is, how do we grow? How do we grow spiritually? How do we grow in every aspect of our life spiritually? And Peter gave us an answer. Peter answers that question. And so that, in other words, we are not without help, right? Here we have help. Peter wrote this letter to help us understand what it takes for us to grow. And Peter answers clearly, very clearly and very practically what we must do, right, in order to grow. And so, but you know, the reality is that not all Christians grow spiritually. I don't know about you, right? I mean, if you look around, whether it's here in the church or whether, you know, your Christian friends, you realize that there are people who are not growing spiritually. Some of us, we've been Christians for years and years and years, right? Come to church every Sunday and we've been in church for years and years, and then you are not growing. Your knowledge of God is stuck at a certain level, right? Some of you grew up in a church, you go to Sunday school. During Sunday school, you learn stories, you hear about the teaching of the teachers and so on. And then when you become a youth, and then you become an adult, your knowledge of the Bible is still like when you were still in Sunday school.
That's not growing, right? That's not growth. That means you are stagnant. Your knowledge of God, your knowledge of the Bible is stagnant. Stay in the same place. And so that's why we need to grow. And the growing is important, because if you don't grow spiritually, just like physically, something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong with you. And because you're not growing, you know, you will not be able to live your Christian life in a way that God wants you to live. And so I'm not surprised why some Christians fall away. Some Christians after a while became unbelievers. They just didn't believe in God anymore. And why some Christians are struggling in their life, in their spiritual life, in their whatever life they have. And so here we want to look at what Peter had to say. There are a few things I want to mention here this afternoon. First of all is that it is commanded by God. Spiritual growth is commanded by God. In other words, it is a command, meaning that God expects us to grow spiritually. And if you read Matthew 28, right, which is a passage that was given by our Lord Jesus, it is the Great Commission. The Great Commission indirect states the necessity to grow, right? Jesus commanded his disciples to grow. And how? Jesus commanded his disciples to make disciples. He says, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things commanded. And so we are to teach, we are to obey, we are to be baptized, we are to follow Jesus, and we are to continue to grow in our learning. Constantly growing as we learn and obey our Lord. That's a great commission. It's a command. It's not something that I'll choose to grow today. If not, forget it. It's not. If it's a command, it's a command that we have to obey. So indirectly, it's a command. But there is a direct command here. It says that the apostles, right? Peter here, Apostle Peter, actually talk about there's a direct command to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, which is not part of this passage today, but let me read verse 18 in the same chapter. Verse 18 says, let me find that verse. Okay, this Bible is kind of small. Okay, verse says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. All right? Sorry, I got the wrong verse. Sorry, let me turn to chapter 3. I was reading chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 18 says, it is the last verse of this letter of Peter. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so at the end of this letter, when Peter wrote this letter, he ended with this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to grow, right? It's not something that we can choose not to grow. It's a choice that we make. And so there is a direct link, right, to growing in our spiritual life. And in fact, he started off with this chapter 1, talking about how we can grow. Right? If you don't grow as a Christian, the Bible actually rebuked us, right? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to chapter 6, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews actually rebuked us if we don't grow. Let me read these few verses. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying against the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death and of faith in God. Here the Hebrew writer actually rebuked us, right? Rebuked the believers that we are to grow in our lives, in our spiritual lives. We are not to be we are not to be infants, right? We are not to be living on milk. We are to be mature. We are not infant anymore. If you're a Christian for a while, and you'll be coming to church for a while, you no longer, you have to grow, right? You know, from a baby, you grow into more a youth and then to an adult. And you are not being fed on milk anymore, right? Can you imagine if you are a youth and you're an adult and you're just still drinking milk every day? You get a bottle and you're drinking milk like a baby. Is it funny? The picture of an adult drinking milk on a, with a bottle? In other words, you are not an adult. You're not growing and you're feeding on milk still. Instead, you should be eating meat, right? Eating solid food. You cannot be eating milk, you know, eating and drinking milk all the time. We have to grow. And spiritual growth is not an option, right? Even though it's a choice, in a sense, it's not an option because we are to grow. All right? It's not reserved for a few of us to grow. The Bible didn't say, oh, some of you can stop growing, the rest can still grow, some can stop growing. No. Growth is for everyone, every Christian, every believer. If you are a believer, you are to grow. And so it's a choice that we make, right? So it's a command by God, first thing. Secondly, God gives us everything we need to grow. That's good news. Is that any good news? That we, when we want to grow, if we choose to grow, God has given us everything that we need. We are not in lack, we don't lack anything about growth. In verse 3 and 4, let me read these two verses. He says what? Peter writes, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Verse 4, through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You see, these two verses is packed with a lot of things, all right? First of all, Peter says that we are given everything we need. Verse 3, His divine power, God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through what? Through our knowledge of Him. By our knowing Jesus Christ, by knowing God, we are given that in all the resources that we need to grow. And so we do not lack anything. His divine power has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, if you want to grow in your spiritual life, you can all you need to do is turn to the Word of God. Right? The book that you, I don't know, now we don't carry this book anymore, right? This book is called the Bible. This black book that I carry is the Bible. I mean, today, you know, we have our cell phone, our smartphone, we have our Bible app in our phone. It's great. I think it's great that you have a smartphone, you should install the Bible app, right? So that when you can turn, you can look out verses and all and read constantly, read daily. But if you don't, then I would suggest that you also have a Bible, right? I am maybe old-fashioned. Maybe I'm still living old-fashioned. I like to carry the Bible. I like to read the Bible. I have an app. I have a cell phone too. I have a Bible app in my cell phone. But I still find that reading the Bible, the physical Bible, to me, helps me more, I think. It helps me to turn to the pages, right? To know where to look for the verses. Where are the passages that I want to read? Of course, if you have a cell phone, you can always click, you know, you can screen up and down and read and find very quickly. That's great. But the important point I'm making here is that we need to read the Bible. We need to read so that we know how to grow. And the resources that God has given us is already there. You see, Peter was a devoted follower of Jesus, right? Peter followed Jesus all his life. He was the eyewitness of Jesus' life and ministry. In other words, Peter saw everything what Jesus did in his ministry. And now at the end of his life, at the end of his, you know, life on earth, he writes to the followers of Jesus to remind them of the truth that sometimes we forget, right? We are creatures that forget. We forget things, right? And so Peter has written these epistles to remind us And he wants us to continue to remember that we need to grow. And so Peter launches into one of the most important truths that we need to know. The truth is that God gives us everything we need to grow. Everything. Peter makes it clear. The foundation of our growth is God's power and grace. God gives us everything we need. In other words, it's not by our own strength that we grow. If you choose to grow as a believer, it's not dependent on your own strength. Because if you try and do it with your own strength, you will fail. But if we rely on God, relying on God's power and grace, that's what Peter is saying, His divine power, if we rely on God's power, we will not fail, we will not fail, and we will grow. That's why it's so important that we understand this truth. Because salvation and the growth of our life is not based on what we do. It's not exactly by our own effort. That's what I'm saying. We have to do something, obviously. Because if you do nothing, then you are not exercising, right, the truth that God has given us. In other words, we are to make an effort. He says, put every effort in our growth. While we work out our salvation, God is at work at the same time in us. That's what Paul says. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." So here Paul, just like Peter, is telling us that we are to continue to put an effort, make an effort to grow, making an effort to walk, right? To work out our salvation, to walk with God in order to fulfill His purposes. God desires to complete the work He started when He saved us. See, when we were sinners, when we were unbelievers, God died. Jesus came and died for our sins. And the moment when we accept Jesus into our lives, right, we are given life, eternal life, salvation. And we continue to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. That's what Paul says. Peter says in verse 3, "Through the knowledge of Him who called us." In other words, we have to grow in our knowledge of God. And as we grow in our knowledge of God, we also grow in our spiritual life. And so the important thing is that there's a link between knowing God and growing spiritually. Let me give you an example. If you have a friend, right? If you make a friend, a new friend, you know that friend only for a little bit because it's new, right? And after a while, maybe a few weeks, maybe months, as you talk, as you get to know each other, you grow, right? You grow in your relationship with each other. Can you imagine? You say, "Oh, I want to be your friend. And you want to be my friend." But we don't meet, we don't talk, right? We just do our own thing. Is that a relationship? That's not a relationship. This just talking, just saying that we are friends, but we are not relating actually. But when you relate, any kind of relationship, right? Human relationship, whether it's a friend, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a parents, child-parent relationship, you know, all kinds of relationship requires that connection, requires that knowledge of each other, growing in our knowledge with each other. And as you know each other more and more over time, you grow in your relationship. Right? That is human relationship. It applies in the same way with our spiritual relationship with God. You see, when you first became a Christian, you don't really understand who God is. Maybe you know a little bit. You know, you read a little bit about it, and maybe somebody told you about Jesus Christ, and you know about Jesus a little bit. But as you grow in your spiritual walk, and as you relate with God through Jesus Christ, and you study His Word, and you get to know who God is more and more, then your relationship with God will grow. So can you tell me, all right, today, how deep or how much growth have you got in your relationship with God? How much do you know God today? The God that we worship this morning, or this afternoon, the God that we pray, how much do you know? Do you know Him a lot?
or you know him a little bit? That's a question. If you've been a Christian for a while and you only know God very superficially, you don't even know what is God's, you know, what God likes about you, right? Or who God is in a sense, then something is missing somewhere in terms of your growth. But if you're a new Christian, then I don't blame you because you are still new. But the point is that even if you're new, you want to grow. You want to know God more. That's why we have Sunday school, we have Bible study, we have preaching on Sunday, we have the Bible that we read, devotion and so on. This is how we grow. As we understand who God is, as we get to know who God is, we will grow in our spiritual life. That's why we need to do that on a daily basis, not once in a while. Knowing God is not once in a while. Knowing God is a daily activity. So the question today is, do you know God? Do you know the God that we worship? God gives us everything we need to grow. There is no lack in that. And if you are not growing, something is missing. The third point I want to suggest to you this afternoon is that we can take small steps to grow, right? Small steps. Because we cannot jump. We cannot suddenly, you know, from a young Christian to become a mature Christian suddenly like that. This is just not happening. It doesn't make sense to be like that. Even like you, if you look at your spiritual, your physical life, you don't suddenly become a baby to a youth, right? Or a baby to an adult, suddenly. It takes time to grow. In the same way, in our spiritual life, it takes time and we take small steps to grow. In verse 5, Peter writes, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Right? So in other words, there are that steps that we take in our growth. We don't just jump, right? We don't just suddenly grow in a big spurt, right? There's no such thing as such a big growth. Just like a tree, right? If you water it, if you feed it with, you know, like fertilizer and so on, it takes time for a tree to grow. And sometimes it takes years, right? But there is an incremental growth. That means there is signs of growth step by step. You can tell, right? You can tell if this plant is growing. Because if you water it every day or you water it regularly, you find that the plant will start to grow incrementally, right? You can see it. It's not something that you don't see and then suddenly become a tree, right? In the same way, in our spiritual life, we can see the incremental growth, right? And here, Peter talks about a few things, right? He says, make every effort to add your faith goodness, right? Add your faith goodness. First of all, you must have faith. That is the most fundamental part of our spiritual life, is to we have faith in God, that you believe in God. If you don't believe in God, then obviously then nothing happens, right? But if you have faith in God, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you have accepted Jesus into your life, and you trust Him every day, and you walk with Him every day, you trust Him, you pray to Him. That's faith. But then Paul Peter says, don't just stay there, right? He says, add to your faith goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is a quality that we all must have as believers, meaning that we are morally good and we are a desirable person. In other words, as a believer, we are a good person, not a bad person. If you have faith and you behave badly and you are a bad person, something is not there anymore, right? You're not growing. If you're a Christian, you are a good person. Morally, and there is more excellence in you, and you are changed from the inside out. You're a good person. You go and help people. When people look at you, when people relate with you, they say, oh, so-and-so is a good person. He's a Christian. He's a good person. You will not say, oh, so-and-so is a Christian, but it's a bad person. That's a contradiction. In other words, there are no bad Christians, so to speak. If you're a Christian, you're a good Christian, you're a good person. Alright? So you have to add to that faith that you have goodness, and then what else? Knowledge. Right? We have to grow in our knowledge, which is so important, because you cannot just become a believer and growing and say you're growing, but you don't know Jesus more and more. You have to add to that knowledge, growth in our knowledge of who God is, to reading His Word, studying His Word, memorizing His Word, and practicing His Word. And you have knowledge. So when people ask you, right? One day you're going to be outside, you know, somewhere, and people come and a stranger comes to you and say, "Oh, I see that you're a Christian. Can you tell me more about God, your God?" They say, "Oh, I don't know how to describe my God. I don't know, you know, yeah, I don't know who God is. I know I go to church, I go to, you know, Sunday school, but I don't really how to tell you who God is that I believe." Isn't that strange? Pretty strange, isn't it? So how can you say you're a Christian and you're a believer and you say, "I don't know God. I don't know how to describe the God that I believe." In fact, if you're a Christian, you should be able to describe the God that you believe. And in fact, you will be very, very excited about telling people about who Jesus is. That's a great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. That you are very excited to do that because you have that knowledge. The knowledge of who God is. So we need to grow in that knowledge of God. And of knowledge, what else he says? Okay, add to that knowledge, add to your faith, add to your goodness, add to that knowledge. You say, add what else? Self-control. And this is another important part of growth in our spiritual life. It's the ability to restrain ourselves from sinful desires. Right, that we want to live our lives in obedience to God and not falling to sin in disobedience. We want to be able to control that, self-control. Right, we restrain from sinning. When we see something that is bad or something that we want to do that is against God, we stop ourselves. We control ourselves. We restrain that, and that's a sign. That's a sign of growth. If you're a person is out of control, as opposed to self-control, you're out of control, then you are not growing spiritually. How can you say, "I'm a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit in me, I trust God, I believe in God, I know who God is, but I care less about controlling myself. I go drink, I take drugs, I live my life carelessly." That's not self-control. That is a bad sign, right? I mean, can you imagine? And you go out there, if you're out of control, it's no self-control, you use vulgar words, you scold people, you accuse people, and you quarrel, you fight. What kind of a Christian is that? What kind of a believer are you? So we need self-control. Of course, we pray. We ask the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us control ourselves. Control our anger, right? Control our lives. We want to be a good person. How we relate with people, we want self-control. And then another part that it's added on, it's not just self-control, it's also what? Perseverance. Right? Self-control and self-control, perseverance. Perseverance means what? Is that you stay faithful. That means you persevere in your faith. That you continue to believe even though it may be difficult. That you are steadfast in your faith. In other words, you stand firm in your belief. That's why a lot of believers, right, young believers especially, fall away from God. Why? Because they don't persevere. They're not steadfast anymore. When problems come, they give up. They give up their faith because it's tough. That's not perseverance. We have to stay faithful, not just for a short time, but over a long period of time. In fact, we have to be faithful to the end. That's what Paul says. Be faithful to the end. The question today is that if you are a Christian today, will you still be a Christian 20 years down the road? 40 years down the road, however long you live, will you still be faithful to the end? Faithful to God? That's the question. And I can guarantee you that your journey, right, your life journey as a Christian will not be always smooth. there will always be challenges. Sometimes big challenge, a lot of big challenges, some small challenges, sometimes maybe smooth, whoever, but the road is not going to be smooth all the way. I've been a Christian for more than 50 years. And I can tell you, for the last 50 years of my Christian life, it's not always nice and easy. There were times when it's so tough, I wanted to give up. But when I read this passage, when I want to grow in my spiritual life, I tell myself, I have to persevere. I have to trust God. I have to continue to be steadfast, to stay faithful to the end, because God is with me. We can do that. We don't have to give up our faith. We don't have to give up. We can stay faithful. And if you continue to stay faithful, you will grow, because the Bible tells us that when you face trials and temptations, right? In fact, they will make you grow. Especially when your life is smooth and everything is nice, everything is okay, you really grow very little. It's those days when you face a lot of difficulties in your life. That's where your spiritual life actually grows. Because your faith is tested. Right? If your faith is not tested, there is no reason to say that your faith is real, right? Until it's tested. And if it's tested and you still have that faith, then that faith that you have is real. But if you say, I have faith, but you are tested by whatever circumstances, and then you gave up, then that faith that you have, you still have, it's not real. So don't be afraid. Don't shy away from difficulties in life. We all will face difficulties. But we know that God is with us. As this morning, we had all this worship song, right? They're telling us that God is faithful. He's always faithful. And we will continue to rely on Him, trusting in Him, because that faith that we have, if it's real, will see us through. And you need to persevere for the long haul. Not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 5 years, not for 10 years, forever, until you see Jesus face to face. That's part of growth. And of course, after perseverance, what did Peter says? Godliness. Godliness is another part, another sign where you grow spiritually. Because godliness meaning that you live a godly life. You live a life that's consistent to the teaching of the Word of God. That you live a godly life. Not an ungodly life, just the opposite. Right? If you go and lie, steal, rob, worse, murder, and all these things that you do, those are not godly, right? Ungodly. Especially today, we have so much lies in this world. Social media is full of lies. Those of you young people, when you go onto the social media, I want you to be very careful. Don't believe everything you read on social media, on internet. Check it out. Test it. Because if you don't test it, you think it's true, may not be so. Because lies is rampant everywhere. People tell lies to take advantage of people. Scammers and all. And so as believers, as Christians, we don't spread lies. You know, sometimes I get a little bit upset when somebody send me or send my wife a WhatsApp. You know, a video or some kind of quotation or some kind of story. And when you read it, you realize it's fake. It's not true. It's somewhere they got it somewhere. And then then this person who is my friend didn't check it out. Then he sent it to me thinking that it's true. And I read it, I get upset because it's not true. I don't know how many people he already sent it out, right? He could be sending it to 100 people in his WhatsApp contact. That is spreading lies unknowingly. Not that I think he's doing it on purpose, spreading fake news. But unknowingly you're doing it. That's why I don't want to, you know, really go on to WhatsApp or any kind of social media. Because it's not a good thing. Right? Because many of the things that we read and hear and all that are very ungodly. So I want you to be careful. I'm not asking you to stop going to social media and not, you know, shut yourself out and be, you know, isolated or secluded from all kinds of, you know, social thing that you're doing. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to be very careful. Check those things that you read. And don't believe everything you read. And don't pass it on to somebody that you think is, you know, that would be good to hear about it if you don't check it. Because you are spreading lies just as much as those who are spreading lies. But you are part of it. So be careful. We want to be living a life that is as godly as we can, living a godly life. And godliness went on to say what? Brotherly kindness, brotherly or sisterly kindness, which ties in closely with the last virtues here in this here is love, right? It says brotherly kindness and then love. Love is the final, the last virtue that sums up all the virtues that is mentioned here. All right, brotherly, sisterly kindness is an important part because we have to live in good relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to. It's not an option. It's not like, oh, you know, I come to church, I don't have to relate with my brothers and sisters in the church. I don't care about them. It's not, right? You have no, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're part of the body of God, or of Jesus, of Christ. And you have to have brotherly kindness, sisterly kindness with each other. Show kindness, show goodness with each other. It is a ties that binds us together, right? The brotherly and sisterly affection binds us together, that we love one another. We don't fight with one another. We don't hate each other. Instead, we love each other. We build a relationship with each other. That's part of growth. If you say you're a Christian, you're a mature Christian, but you cannot have a good relationship with someone here in this church, something is wrong, right? Can you just picture? Oh, you know, I'm a very mature Christian. You know, I have been a Christian for years and years and years, but I really don't like that brother or sister in this church. I hate the person. Something is kind of doesn't ring the bell, right? How can you say you're a mature Christian, a growing Christian, and you hate somebody? Especially somebody within the family of God. In fact, if you have that hate, then you have to go and make amends. Ask for forgiveness, whatever. And reconcile to each other. And not say, oh, I don't like him, I don't like her. You know, I will not relate with that person in the church. Because that's a sign of immaturity, not maturity. And so the last is love. Love sums up all the virtues, sums up all the other things. Because love actually is the motivation, right? The motivation of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. That's all the motivation. Because when you love, you want to do all these things. You love God. And so Peter tells us it takes steps, right? And these are actually small steps, really not big steps, really. He says, make every effort. That's what it means, right? He's telling us, make every effort. That means we have to be intentional. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come, you know, when you sit here in a service and then things will happen. No, it does. It doesn't happen. We have to intentional, meaning get involved. You come to church and you don't get involved, you come and you listen to the message, you worship and all, then you leave and not do anything about it, then you are not really benefiting or growing in your life, in your spiritual life. Instead, we have to get involved, right? Get involved, put that into practice, show love to each other by practicing love, by showing self-control and so on and so forth. And so here, spiritual growth is a choice that we choose. You have to choose to do it. And as I said, it has to be intentional. And here I want to conclude, right? Peter concludes that these qualities that you have, that you are going to going to have is has to be in increasing manner. In other words, it has to grow, has to be increased. In other words, your faith has to increase, your goodness has to increase, your knowledge has to increase, self-control has to increase, perseverance has to increase, godliness has got to increase, brotherly sister affection has to increase, your love has to increase. Of course, he's not expecting us to grow in leaps and bounds, but small little steps. That's what he's saying. That we are to grow in little steps. And when you do that, you confirm your calling and election, meaning you confirm your faith in Jesus Christ. It confirms. If you go out to the world and people see all these qualities, they say, oh yeah, you are Christian. You say you're Christian, I believe you because it's shown in your life, all these qualities. It confirms. Even for non-believers, it confirms. But if you go out there and you don't grow in all this, in fact, you become negative instead of positive. Then you go out there and you say, oh, I'm a Christian. People say, are you sure you're a Christian? I doubt it. Because it doesn't show. You say you're a Christian, but you don't care about me. You don't love me. You don't have self-control. You open your mouth and everything come out bad. How can you say you're a Christian if you have no self-control? And so in other words, all these qualities are essential. Without them, we cannot really say that we belong to Jesus. And it will be obvious, to be honest, very obvious. I don't know whether I told you this story. Because sometimes when we say we are like that and we don't do it, then it really shows that you're not really telling the truth, right? I remember, I know your summer is coming, VBS is going to come. Right, and some of you asked to help out with vacation Bible school with kids around, and you volunteer. Okay, I want to be a vacation Bible school helper or teacher, or whatever, and you go right, and of course during vacation Bible school there are rules that you follow because you expect the kids to follow certain rules. I remember I was pastoring this church, and then I was involved in the VBS, not full time, but I occasionally go and visit, the VBS. Activities. As a pastor, I just go and just enjoy myself with the kids. And during that time, there was a theme, a cowboy theme, and everybody has to wear a bandana. A bandana. All the teachers wear bandanas, the kids all wear bandanas and all. And as a pastor, I thought, I don't want to wear the bandanas. It's kind of, I don't like the, look. So I was just involved. And this little kid come and say, hey, how come you didn't wear a bandana? I mean, kids are kids, right? They don't say, oh, pastor, I better not say anything. Maybe he didn't know I was a pastor too. Who knows, right? But, you didn't follow the rule, so to speak, in an indirect way. How come you never wear the bandanas where everybody else is doing it? Of course, I felt sheepish, embarrassed a little bit, right? And he's right. I mean, this kid is right, right? If you want to be part of it, then you follow everybody. So I went to go and get a bandana and put it on. In the same way, you put on all these qualities in your life, right? And you go out there in the world, and non-believers are very direct. They don't say, oh, you are a Christian, so I don't want to embarrass you. In fact, all the more they want to embarrass you. Right? I say, you're a Christian, how come you are doing this kind of thing? Then you feel embarrassed, right? Because you know you're wrong. But we have to put on all this, right? We have to put it on, and we have to be consistent. And we have to be steadfast in that. Because there's going to be tension, right? There's going to be challenges. It's not going to be easy. I tell you, it's not going to be easy. But this is something that we have to do. It's a choice that we make, right? We have to grow. We have to put on all these qualities. How do we grow? We grow by relying on Jesus. Not by avoiding all this. But we are putting it on and we rely on Jesus. And we work at it, right? And when we grow, we give God the glory. Because when somebody look at you and say, oh, you must be a Christian. Because I see all these good things in your life. That is bringing glory. Not to yourself, but to God. Right? To God. Because when someone come to you and compliment you, a non-believer especially, hey, so-and-so, Lee, I think you are a Christian because I see you doing all this. Your lives just reflect that, your Christian quality. Of course, it's a good thing, right? If I hear that, I'll be very happy. right? I'll be very joyful knowing that I am doing the right thing. Of course, I will say, okay, the glory goes to God, not to myself. We don't do it for our own glory. We do it for God. How many have you experienced? How many of you have experienced somebody coming to you and say, wow, you must be a believer. You must be a Christian. I can see that in you. That's a great compliment. I mean, in fact, the greatest compliment ever, actually. But somebody come to you and say, sure, you're Christian? You say you're Christian? Are you Christian? That is not a compliment. That's the opposite. Right? That's why the Bible says we are to be His witnesses. Witnesses. Wherever we go. How to be a witness for Jesus? By putting all this quality and growing in them. So let me pray. I know this is not an easy thing for us all to do, including myself. It takes effort, it takes intentionality. And often, sometimes we may fall. It's okay to fall, but pick yourself up and continue, persevere on. Because Jesus knows. Jesus is a gracious person, right? Jesus, God is gracious. But we have to be faithful in our Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon's reminder from the Apostle Peter. That spiritual growth is a choice. It's a choice that we make. That we want to grow. That we want to intentionally grow in our knowledge of who God is, our God the Father, and who you are as our Lord, as Lord and Savior. It's not something that we can avoid if we call ourselves a believer, a follower of Jesus. We know the road ahead is not going to be easy, but we have all the resources that we need, as Peter has pointed out, that we need everything. We have everything that we need to grow. Help us to grow. Help us to be a good witness wherever we are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go towards the Holy Communion. Today is Communion Sunday. I think it's my first time eating the Lord's Supper.